This is the speciality of personal God. When the Divine is personal to you, He has a special relationship with you. And this also everybody can cultivate, a special relationship with the Divine. You determine as certain, as Mother says, if you think that God is angry with you, He is angry with you. If you think that God is happy with you, He is happy with you. It depends upon you, how you build up a relationship with the Divine, so He relates with you. In the Bhagavad Gita there is a very beautiful sentence, as they approach me, so do I approach them. As they approach me, so do I approach them. That is a speciality of the personal God. He is not like a river in which everybody can equally take water from. He gives specially for each one, specially depending upon the relationship that you build up. So you can relate yourself to the Divine, you recognize the Divine either as wisdom or as power or love, or you recognize Him as an absolute, impersonal, or you recognize Him as a Divine Person. You can recognize Him in one form or numerous forms, or you can recognize Him also as an ideal. There is ideal of liberty, ideal of equality, ideal of fraternity, all kinds of ideals, virtues of various kinds. Purity may be your preferred ideal. So Divine comes to you as purity. Generosity may be your ideal, so He comes as a generosity. In one way or the other, you begin to recognize that there is in the world other than yourself. There is a magnet somewhere other than yourself who attracts everything in the world. Then gradually you go through all this and then you decide the Supreme Divine reveals Himself supremely in all His aspects. The mind's door, this is the last sentence of that paragraph, the mind's door of entry to the conception of Him must necessarily vary according to the past evolution and the present nature. How you enter into the Divine will depend upon your own past development, your past evolution, your present composition of the mind. And then accordingly you will enter into Him. Now we go forward. This inner guide is often veiled at first by the very intensity of our personal effort and by the ego's preoccupation with itself and its aims. As we gain in clarity and the turmoil of egoistic effort gives place to a calmer self-knowledge, we recognize the source of the growing light within us. We recognize it retrospectively as we realize how all our obscure and conflicting movements have been determined towards an end that we only now begin to perceive, how even before our entrance into the path of the yoga, the evolution of our life has been designedly led towards this turning point. For now we begin to understand the sense of our struggles and efforts, successes and failures. At last we are able to seize the meaning of our ordeals and sufferings and can appreciate the help that was given us by all that hurt and resisted and the utility of our very faults and stumblings. We recognize this divine leading afterwards, not retrospectively but immediately, in the molding of our thoughts by a transcendent seer, of our will and actions by an all-embracing power, of our emotional life by an all-attracting and all-assimilating bliss and love. We recognize it too in a more personal relation that from the first touched us or at the last seizes us. We feel the eternal presence of a supreme master, friend, lover, teacher. We recognize it in the essence of our being as that develops into likeness and oneness with a greater and wider existence. For we perceive that this miraculous development is not the result of our own efforts. An eternal perfection is molding us into its own image. One who is the Lord or Ishvara of the yogic philosophies, the guide in the conscious being, Chaitya Guru or Antaryamin, the absolute of the thinker, the unknowable of the agnostic, the universal force of the materialist, the supreme soul and the supreme Shakti, the one who is differently named and imaged by the religions, is the master of our yoga. There are three ways by which we recognize, either retrospectively or immediately or we recognize him as constantly accompanying you, not in specific acts but all the time one who accompanies us. In all the three ways we recognize the Supreme Lord. Often we recognize him retrospectively. When you discover the divine help suddenly at one time, then you feel, oh, but he was with me earlier at all the stages of development. Now he has revealed himself, but indeed he was present. In my own experience, my major experience was my reading of the Life Divine. The arrival of this book in my life, what time that book came in my hands, I was struggling for the previous 2 or 3 years only with one question: what is truth? That was my deity, Ishta Devata. Truth is my Ishta Devata. What is the truth? And I was searching desperately, what is the truth? And therefore I was struggling with pain. And I read books after books after books after books after books after books. Literally, within a few years, 2 years or 3 years, I read enormously. All the time getting disappointed and finding no answer to my questions. It was a painful thing for me because I knew that I will not be able to take my next step in my life unless I know the truth. And you need to take the next step in your life. So it was necessary for me to discover the truth. And I was constantly, and I did not believe in God, so there was no prayer in my heart. But one day I prayed and I said, if you are God, you know what I am. If there is God, he knows me. I may not know him, but if he is God, if he claims to be what he is, he must be knowing me. So I told him, I said, if you know me, you know what I'm in need of. And if you are capable, give me the answer. I want to know the truth. There was no answer yet. So I decided that now, since I do not know what is the truth, my next step will be in the wilderness. Not knowing the truth, I will take pell-mell what is what seems to me the best, although I will know that it's not true, but still, whatever is best. And I was going to take a decision of leaving my college, because I thought that this college years that I'm spending are all useless. I was going to devote myself to village work, because India requires a lot of work in villages. I was about to take a decision, and then suddenly a friend of mine came and said, "My uncle has given me a book to read." It was for him to read, not for me. "My uncle has given a book for me to read," he said. "But as you know, I am incapable of giving attention to such difficult books. But my uncle is persistent and he will ask me after a week whether I have read the book or not. So will you kindly help me by reading the book and telling me the summary of it? And then I will tell my uncle that I have read the book and this is the summary of it. Then he will leave me." So I said, "What is that book?" So he said, "The name of the book is The Life Divine." So I told him, this was my first answer. I said, "I have read a lot of mysticism. They all speak of God, who doesn't exist. And in any case, they don't know why God should have created this kind of world. If the God was existing, He could have developed a better kind of world, not this kind of world. If He is omnipotent, why should He create this kind of world?" So enough. And sometimes when I ask the question, these philosophers say, why God has created this world is inexplicable. Then they say you can become one with God. If you can become one with God, then He will know the answer to the question. Then how can you say He doesn't know the answer to the question? These were the questions I put to him, and I said, therefore, these books I have banned. I will not read myself such books. So he was disappointed. But the book remained on my table. After 2 days, his uncle asked him the question, "Have you read that book?" So he came running to me and said, "Kirit, not for God's sake, for my sake you read the book." I want to tell my uncle that I have read the book, and I will tell him then he will leave me then in peace. "Please read the book." So again I told him, I said, "Look, I have no time to read this book." Then he said, "You know Sri Aurobindo, you know what is he?" So I said, "Whoever he may be, but the life divine, the divine itself means that they will again go into that confusion. I don't want any confused writing now. I have enough of it." He said, "Sri Aurobindo sits 6 feet above the ground." He said, "Sri Aurobindo sits 6 feet above the ground." So, such is the greatness of this master. So I said, "Whether he sits 6 feet or 12 feet, I'm not going to read." So he left me as a gone out case. He felt perhaps I will not be convinced. Anyway, the book was still lying on my table.